Hello, and thanks for joining Wicker Park Lutheran Church Sermons. Wicker Park Lutheran Church is a diverse ELCA Lutheran congregation in the Wicker Park neighborhood of Chicago. We gather at 10 a.m. to fully live into our incarnational faith as we experience God's presence in the gathered assembly, and we welcome you to join us. In just a moment, you'll first hear with a gospel reading from the associated sermon for the service that you're about to listen to. We hope that that gospel gives you some context before you jump right into the sermon. Thanks for checking us out, and we hope to see you soon.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered, and Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was a descendant from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her to deliver a child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And then the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, and suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying,
"Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those who favor him."
And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, so they went with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the child lying in the manger. And when they saw this, they made known what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all of these words and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. The Gospel of the Lord. At this time of year, we often go out of our way to spend time with important people, or at the very least, family members we're obligated to be with. And we try to pause and give thanks and celebrate, and in our human attempts to be everything to everyone, we often overpromise and underdeliver. We say that we'll attend the work party, knowing full well we won't. We pledge to not talk about politics around the table until we do. And we make grandiose promises only to let one another down. I think as humans, we have a tendency to say more than we actually act on. After all, it's much easier to note our thoughts and our prayers are with the victims in Las Vegas and Sutherland Springs. And we're very quick to grieve the devastation in Puerto Rico and Texas, only to forget their continued struggle. And when we see climate change, we promise to finally take our consumption seriously, until we fall into the consumerism of Christmas. Yet, the true Christmas story is one where words and actions are finally united. So let me tell you the real Christmas story. And it's a story that begins in a relatively peaceful land. Now, this peace was a gift from its immortal ruler known as fear. You see, there was fear of the government, fear of outside attackers, fear of religious leaders, and fear of torture and ultimately crucifixion. Nevertheless, there was some kind of semblance of peace. And on that first night that Jesus took a gasping breath, the people of that land were just adjusting to a new tax law. You see, according to Luke's gospel, Joseph and the very pregnant teen named Mary were forced to walk over 100 miles so that each region could be appropriately taxed. And because so many people flocked to Bethlehem, this little town was running out of space. And we know that when space is limited and the demand is great, the cost goes up. It's basic economics. Anyway, Mary and Joseph were poor. I mean, they were very poor. And they needed to find some place real fast. Remember, Mary is very pregnant. And so, here they are. Mary, oh so ready to give birth to a child, a bastard child nonetheless. And so this unwedded couple finds a feeding trough called a manger and had no choice but to make it work. Now, while we don't actually know the details about the birth of Jesus specifically, chances are it was probably fairly normal. Mary's joints were sore, she howled because she didn't have an epidural, and she was exhausted after an average 14-hour birth. Yeah, and I looked that up. And so when Jesus finally made contact with the air, I'm sure they gave him a little pat on the bum and he gasped his first human breath. And I have to say, so far in this story from 2,000 years ago, it seems a lot like it can be connected to 21st century Wicker Park. We know how military might and fear can give a veil of peace. We know what it feels like to have a new tax law imposed on us. And we have been in overcrowded places. We have traveled from places far from home. And in fact, if you think about it, Jesus' world looks a whole lot like ours. Anyway, back to the story. So, as they dried the fluids off of Jesus' pruned body, you know how ugly babies are when they're born, Mary and Joseph wanted to remember this moment because he was their firstborn. Again, you know how new parents get. No camera, no problem, just cue the angels to round up the shepherds. And so here come the shepherds walking into the birthing chamber. And these shepherds are disgusting. I mean, they've been outside for weeks or more in the hot sun of the Middle East. And then these shepherds took mental pictures. They heard the story about that journey from Nazareth. And they were told that a Savior had been born. And you see, that is the true Christmas story. And while this story is important, and it helps shape Christianity, it is also completely unnecessary for religion. In no other major religion does a god or gods take on human body to communicate their message. It's not needed. Instead, other religions use prophets and messengers to speak on behalf of God. But Christianity is the only major religion who worships a God who took words and paired them with the human body. A God who became incarnate and claimed the title Emmanuel, which means God with us. But here's the thing. That title, Emmanuel, is more than just a title. Rather, Emmanuel is a transformational action. You see, showing up matters to our God. Our God practices what is preached. Our God recognizes that actions speak louder than words. Our God knows that you can pretend to care, but you can't pretend to be there. And so God took on human form during a time remarkably similar to our own to communicate that God is with us today, tomorrow, and forever. And like any parent knows, when a baby arrives, it changes everything. Nothing will stay the same. Your routine changes, your life changes, and your future changes. And so too for us. In the weeks ahead, we are going to see the world change. We'll have the opportunity to explore why this particular baby, a pretty prototypical birth, matters. We'll discover why the incarnation is earth-shattering, and means absolutely everything. We'll learn about God's passion for justice and liberation. We'll discover the use of nonviolence to bring a completely different type of peace. We'll be captivated by an ideology of love and grace. And we'll come to realize that this baby's life has the power to transform the world, and more importantly, our own lives. And that is why we gather here every Sunday. We gather here in bodily form, in flesh and blood, to explore and to be transformed. We gather to be reminded of Emmanuel. And tonight is just the first step in that journey. As we gather around this table for a holy meal. For here at this table, we encounter Emmanuel in this sacrament and in one another. And then I'm going to kick you out of here because I'm exhausted. And I hope that we all can embody that old adage that it's better to give than to receive. Because you see, our God will send us to share God's good news of great joy for all people, not only in word, but also in deed. Amen.